Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Yes, indeed. I am Chris. He is Ryan. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And we have got Zora Stevenson. She is the Milwaukee Bucks sideline reporter for Bally Sports Wisconsin. She will join us at the bottom of the hour and obviously a great person to talk to. I can't wait to tell her what Ryan Hollins really thinks about Giannis Antetokounmpo, and she can shut him down like my man Brandon Marshall did last hour. So we're going to have all sorts of fun like that. And at the end of the hour, Ryan, Rob Parker is going to join us.
Rob Parker.
That Rob Parker. Because, Ryan, you heard about the shooting at the Nationals game, right?
That was scary, man.
Guess who was there?
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
Really?
Sound the alarm.
Oh, yes. My God. I got to hear
he
about
this. He was there hiding in a closet. Real talk. He and his boys hid in a mop closet or something. Rob G, am I off? Am I misdescribing
it? You are 100% factual.
Wow. That should have been a source to say.
You're right. That would have been a good source to say. But he will join us at the end of the show to kind of give us, you know, I mean, he was there. And it was, as Ryan said, it was a scary situation. But have you ever, like, you've probably never, let me ask you this. Whether it would be something like that or even like a plane ride, because we've heard of teams, you know, having a plane ride.
Both. Well,
Like dip. So tell me about those if you can.
Well, real quick, my high school all-star game, they shot outside of it.
Was this a national game or local?
It was a local game, San Gabriel Valley. Big time game for the area.
Okay.
And I remember my dad was there, and we heard the shots, and we ran into the the equipment closet or whatever. It was a bunch of space.
Now it was outside. Was it inside the gym?
No, the shooting was outside the gym.
Okay.
And all you hear is shooting. And you just see a bunch of people running. And I remember I was with my dad, and he was holding, and you know, it was some weird, my dad was shook, man. My dad was shook. And I was so young, I didn't know anybody. I'm like, well, if they gonna come here and shoot us, they ain't come here already. And I remember I was so ignorant, man. My dad was like shook, and I'm like, man, I'm going to In and Out after this. I'm like, dude, I should have took my butt home. You know, you don't value it. But in all seriousness, I was just at my daughter had a volleyball tournament in Las Vegas, and I'm sound asleep, man. And my wife told me that there was a gun scare in the casino, and she said she was walking with another one of the moms on the team, and she has small children, man. And it's not always just that the shooting, there's a stampede of people running.
Right.
And my wife grabbed her son, and they dipped off behind one of the little bars, man, and hid in one of the little closets. So it's scary. And I'm waking up. My wife's like, I've been calling you. I felt like the worst husband in the world. I did. And hold on. What was the other one you said, Chris?
Well,
I experienced it all.
You've heard of, like, teams being on flights where, you know, they might dip 10,000 feet or something like
Chris,
that.
Chris, you're not going to believe this, bro. My second
NBA?
Year in the league. My second year in the league. I'm playing because people don't like. We have to go to the next city. We can't delay. If there's a game, you have to go. We were on a flight from Atlanta to Charlotte, dude. And Sam Vincent was the coach. And when you talk about dip, it probably felt like a 30 second. A five. You feel that plane drop. It was bad weather. And because we're the chartered private, whatever plane, we're flying at 2-3 a.m. It was just dropping. And I'm not a seatbelt type of guy on the plane. Forgive me. Don't do as I say. Okay. And and the plane dropped, and it was so bad that the next day Sam Vincent was like, yo, we're not flying in this. And the team got penalized because we didn't go. And then there was another instance. I had to go to my uncle's funeral, and I missed the flight to Milwaukee, and I can't make this up. The flight couldn't find a place to land, and the guys were in the air. I kid you, you can go look it up. What was it, 2007 Bobcat? They were in the team flight, was in the air for like 12 straight hours, dude, and they had to get off of the plane because there was nowhere to land. And the pilots kept going to different places like,
for 12 hours?
It was something wild. And the team got in right before the game and had to go play Milwaukee.
Wow.
And had to go play Milwaukee. And, like, on the way, they're getting, like, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And this is an NBA game, dude. Go look it up. I can't make it up. It was wild. Wow,
that's crazy.
The team got fine because you have to be there the day before. And
well,
they end up flying
people
in.
People may not know. NBA teams fly the night of the game. So if you play, like you said, you play a game in Atlanta 7:30 at night, and you play the next night in Phoenix, you're flying to Phoenix that night after the game.
You're going that night. Yeah, you're going that night.
But, hey, my wife thought I was just, basketball was just fun. Like, I was just hooping on the weekends. And she came on one, Chris, my wife came on one road trip, dog. I was like, oh, like we get in at 3 and then you got to wake up at 9 and go to shoot around?
Right,
like, oh, you can add this. She's like, he is working, apparently.
Nah, that always is a trip. For y'all to get up early and go to shoot around like that, that's crazy. And you know why they instituted those? Because, well, you know, they wanted to – coaches wanted players to get up.
You had to.
You know, yeah. Because dudes sleeping all day. All right, anyway, I'm interested to see where you at on this because – you know, before this series began, Ryan, everybody, probably even you, hater that you are, but even you were probably in this group, giving Chris Paul his flowers, right? For finally getting the team to the NBA Finals. He's going to be a top 5 point guard of all time if they win it. If my man Bonzi Wells is listening, Bonzi be texting me, yo, you see CP3? I ain't heard from Bonzi in about a week now. So, but anyway,
Bonzi,
right.
Man.
Anyway, I'm saying this, Ryan. Win or lose this series, Chris Paul is still the 5th greatest point guard ever behind Magic, Steph, Oscar, and Isaiah Thomas. Am I bugging?
You bugging, man.
What?
You bugging, man.
Okay, let me ask you, is he 5th if they win? Or he ain't 5th, period?
I don't think I just throw him in on a fugazi year, man. I don't think I don't. Listen,
that's
you
like
have,
trying to take away Kawhi's 2nd ring.
Yes and
all
no.
Those
yes, but Kawhi was different. Kawhi knocked off Philly by himself. He knocked off Giannis, who was so great, and guarded him. You know, so there were things that led up that, you know, he didn't have a fortunate path. And I, you know, it's funny, I actually put a list out. Okay. So, Chris, this is who you're putting him ahead of
this
in
is
five.
Your top 5, top 10.
No, I just made a list. So everybody, you know what's so funny? People be so fired up at me that when I just ask questions, they think they're statements and they get bad. So, no, this is just a question. But
okay.
So you're telling me you put him ahead of. I'm going to throw it out there. Steve Nash, and that's fine. Big
Definitely
O.
Definitely Nash.
Big O.
No. I got Big O in there.
You got Big
3.
O. Steph. Yeah.
Steph's in there. They're ahead of Steph.
Right.
Steph
okay.
And Big O are ahead of him.
Zeke.
Yes, absolutely. Those three. Oh. Those are my top 3 after Magic. So my top 4 is Magic.
And Magic was next.
Steph, Oscar, Zeke.
I got 3 more names. I got 3 more names. I want to see how froggish you feeling. Jason Kidd.
Yes.
Tough one. Definitively, Jason Kidd took his team to the championships and lost to Shaq and Kobe in their prime, and then got him a ring later on. Now,
okay, here's my argument:
a real
Jay
ring,
Kidd, I love
a real
Jay
one.
Kidd. Jay Kidd was phenomenal. Okay, but Jay Kidd, when he got that ring, you know, he by that point he was a role player, averaging 8 points and 6 assists. He was a role player on that team. Maybe it wasn't 6 assists, something like that. You know that. So that wasn't Jay Kidd in his prime leading that team.
But in his prime, he went further than Chris, though.
He did lead the Nets. East was a little suspect at that point, which it has been for the past few decades.
Okay.
But still,
the West
I give you his
suspect.
Prime.
Okay, okay,
but
next
the
one.
Thing.
No, I got two
Paul,
more names.
No, hold on.
You
Chris
want two
Paul
more?
Has Jay Kidd beat in points per game, assists per game, steals per game, field goal percentage, and three-point percentage. J-Kidd was a career 40% shooter. So Chris Paul did all that better and may be on the verge of becoming the third small player ever to lead a team to a championship. He would join Isaiah and Steph.
Is he really leading the team, though?
Well, his team, don't you think?
Devin Booker's the best player, so you can go. To me, they almost switch off.
But it's certainly more than
He ain't a role player.
Did with Dallas, right?
Yeah, he ain't a role player.
He's a star.
All right, I got two more names. Johnny Stockton.
Yep, and here's the big thing.
Look,
Stockton's
fair.
The all-time. Hold on, Stockton's the all-time leader in steals and assists. Stockton was bad, but here's the thing, and this goes beyond Chris Paul and John Stockton. But Ryan, you know this. We hold today's athletes to such an incredibly high standard that no one could live up to the. And I'll be honest, even Michael Jordan could not live under the scrutiny. He could live under it better than anybody else. But when Stockton played, when Jordan played, when Magic played, they didn't have the daily debate shows on TV. They didn't have 24, daily sports national radio shows like this one, scrutinizing not only their every game, their every quarter, their every possession, every little mistake we talk about. We don't remember Jordan's struggles.
We only
remember the game winners. Now, this is why I say that.
John Stockton, let me
finish.
Go ahead.
This is why I say that. 1997 NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm.
John Stockton, Utah Jazz, facing, of course, the Chicago Bulls. Last two games of that series, both of them Chicago wins. Stockton averaged 13-5. Five assists. This is one of the greatest assist man ever. Five assists a game in those last two games. Next year, 1998, over the last five games of that six-game series, John Stockton, superstar, averaged 7 points and 9 assists on 40% shooting. If Chris Paul did that, we would be crucifying him.
Chris.
You know this. Chris Paul had one bad game in this series, and people are killing him.
Chris, it ain't one bad game. Chris, but hold on, Chris. Here's the thing.
He's averaging 21 and 9 in the series.
Chris Paul in several playoff instances when teams were built around them, forgive me if I sound harsh, I'm only speaking of facts, underachieved. And some may say choked in big moments. So
agreed.
I think the thing is like, okay, Chris, if you were beat by a team more talented than you, we go, you know what, they were more talented. But there were situations where, and I was a part of it too, I'm accountable, man. I was on them teams where we didn't achieve what we should have. And we choked. We got the gentleman sweep 4-2 straight, 4 in a row from Memphis. Then they lost the 3-1 lead after the Houston. Like, those things haunt you when a team
is
built around you.
Well, Chris is on the verge of losing. If they lose this 2-0 series, this lead, he'll be the first player ever to lose 4-2-0 leads in the series.
Those are choke jobs. So that's why I say, like,
hold on.
Can't look at Johnny Stockton.
Stockton never had a team built around him. That's the thing. He always had the mailman to take on that.
But the league was different at that time. There was nobody getting built around. You kind of just got what you were dealt, and that's the players were cool with that. I don't remember Johnny Stockton. He lost to Michael Jordan. John Stockton lost. Like, you came but, like, but he underachieved. Two, like, it was Jordan.
Those are the two of the 20 years that he got to the finals. Many years they lost to, obviously, lesser teams than Jordan.
But you never looked
Phoenix
at it.
And Kevin Johnson. They lost to Houston and those guys, like San Antonio.
But
I mean,
did you look at it? But are we talking about underachieving? Or was it like, you know what? This was their year. And then I'll give you a last name, but you can go back because I don't think you'll debate this. Neither will I. Gary Payton.
GP. Okay, here's what you would say about GP, right? Better score than Chris. Actually, Chris has a higher career scoring average than GP. Think about it. GP 16 a game, Chris almost 19 a game.
Yeah. No, GP.
And, right? And GP was great. I'm with you.
I just, and I was and good. I, and shout out, hold on, shout out GP. I was just with GP.
Yeah, GP was bad. I agree that he's in the discussion. Mm-hmm. Walt Frazier.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we obviously I'm not forgot Bob Cousy.
I'm not so old enough, yeah, but yeah.
I remember watching Cousy. He was nice. All right,
yeah,
people don't give him his love.
Yourself, Chris. Yeah, all right. You want to hit yourself on the radio right now?
But there, and Walt Frazier. I mean, like you said, you didn't see him, but there's a lot of guys you can throw in there, but very few of them. Now, GP did have a team built around.
GP
was nasty.
But I can't do it.
Didn't have the assist game that CP had.
I can't do it with Johnny Stockton because of the and I don't want to say choke jobs because that would sound disrespectful, but the underachieving in the playoffs where you should – I don't care if you didn't get a ring.
So you would put Stockton, basically, you would put him ahead of CP.
Stockton is the – I felt like Stockton did what he should have done with what he had. He got the most out of Karl Malone.
What if this series? What if they win this series?
I don't think I'd jump. I don't think I jumped because of the Fugazi. It's the Fugazi championship, man.
See, you've been listening to Rob Parker.
No, you know what's funny?
You even using his word.
No, Rob took that from me. That is his word. But he's such an oppositional. He took the other side, and he didn't want to say it. He came on, and he took the other side.
With you, he took the other side.
When I said it was Fugazi.
He stole your take.
Yes, man.
He stole your take. All right, let's throw it out to the callers. 877-99 on Fox. Gosh. 877-996-6369. I say Chris Paul's a top five point guard, number five. Win or lose, Ryan Hollins says he ain't top five. Win or lose, what say you? And, you know, if you want to go Stockton versus CP3, feel free. It's your turn to weigh in with the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's the Odd Couple. Chris Broussard, Ryan Hollins is in for Rob Parker, and we're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. It is your turn to weigh in. 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Is Chris Paul a top five point guard? Win or lose in this series, what do you think?
Chris, I'm really intrigued. I want to see what the people got to say,
yeah,
man.
Let's
go to Taz out in Austin, Texas. Taz, you're on Fox Sports Radio. Talk to me.
He's not a top five point guard. He's a top 10, but I want to know, Chris, how do you put CP3 before AI? AI took the team to his final.
I don't view AI as a point guard. I have him in the two-guard category.
Yeah, I'm in the two-ball category. Yep.
When they went to the finals, Eric Snow played the one. He played the two. That's fair. I say two-guard also. But if it was
– don't you think most of his career outside of, like, maybe his first two seasons, he basically played the two?
Yeah, and if we did have – we would – fair, we'd put AI over Chris Paul if that was somehow he fell in there as a small guard category. But I agree with you, Chris.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Sean in Sacramento, man. Sean, you are on the Odd Couple. Talk to me, brother.
My uncle from another mother and the light-skinned assassin himself, man. How y'all feeling today, y'all?
Yo, two light-skinned assassins up in here.
Light bright and light brighter, right? Shout out to my man for that nickname. But, man, as much as I like to say win or lose, Chris, you gave us a stat last month. The most series losses up 2-0 belongs to who? Which point guard, Chris?
Chris Paul.
I'm just saying, man. And with all this talk about point guards, I know he plays shooting guard for two seasons, but how do we not include the logo Jerry West, man? We don't give props for making it to the finals. My man made it more than any other point guard, man.
But see, Jerry, that was the day of the kind of the two guard fronts. You know, and I guess you can argue because there are people that put him at the one, I put him in the two guard category, and I got third best behind Kobe at two and Michael at one.
I mean, 27 points, six rebounds, and seven assists a game. You got to throw him in that one category, baby. He got to be top five.
Yeah, I think he was more of a two, but you know, it's arguable. You got an opinion on that, Ryan? You know, Jerry.
I would put him more so in the two guard category, but I hear it. I hear it. I'm not mad.
They put him in the one. Yeah, there are those that put him in.
All right, but hold on.
I would put him definitely ahead of Chris Paul.
Chris, we might.
If I went at it like
that. We might have something you might want to hear, man. We might have something you want to hear. Let's go to Brandon in Dallas. You're on Fox Sports Radio. Brandon, talk to me, man. How you feeling? Is he top five or what?
What's up, Ryan? What's up, Chris?
What's up, B?
What up, bro?
Hey, Chris, man. Hey, it's time to talk. It's good to talk to you and not Rob one time. A lot of times I call Rob and you're not there. So it's good to talk to you and he's on vacation this time.
Yeah, man. It's good to hear from you. So what you got?
Man, I think he is top five. I would put him probably either four or five, depending on where you would put maybe Steph Curry or somebody like that.
But there aren't too many
true point guards anymore. But, man, I think he's among the best of them. Even though the playoff record isn't there, he's one of the best leaders, I think, out there. I think he's kind of somewhat underrated as a leader. I mean, we can see what he can do. He ruffles a lot of feathers for NBA guys, especially. Just because he's hard, he's hard-nosed, he pushes guys, he barks at guys. But you can see what happens when people buy in and are ready to lead and you have a talented team and a really good coach.
Nah, that's a legit comment. And, Ryan, I mean, you played with Chris. You noticed the places he's made the most impact were Oklahoma City and
this year, Phoenix.
Right. And even if you want to go back to New Orleans early in his career – but that's when you had young guys who bought into what he was saying. The Clippers, I don't think he was able to lead, or Houston, because I don't think veterans were feeling him like that. You've got some experience there. Is that accurate? Is that fair?
This is his best equipped team for success. This is his best equipped. I think we had the pieces with the Clippers. We underachieved, dog. We did.
Y'all did, man.
I think he's in a better place right now as a leader, as a pro, oddly enough. Houston. They tricked off, too.
But Houston didn't want to – I mean, I think Houston should have listened to Chris. First of all, if he don't get hurt, they might have won that championship that year.
I don't know. That's one of the unknowns, man. One of the unknowns, man. We glossed over Houston.
When his last year there, when he was like, all right, look, I tried it. We tried it your way, James. That we didn't get a championship. Now let's start sharing the ball. I'm not really a two guard. You know what I'm saying? And Harden didn't want to hear it, and they had him shipped out. Maybe they should have listened to him.
Looking like that now. You're right. Maybe they should have did it Chris's way. He's having a lot of success now.
Absolutely. All right, we got Zora Stevenson, Bally Sports Wisconsin Bucks sideline reporter coming up next. But first,
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We are the iCouple coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Our next guest does a tremendous job of covering the Milwaukee Bucks as a sideline reporter for Bally Sports Wisconsin. We welcome in Zora Stevenson. Zora, welcome to the iCouple.
Thanks for having me. What's going on, guys?
We are good. Now, look, let's get right to it. Giannis Antetokounmpo, we know the problems he's had in the playoffs 2 years ago, last year. What difference do you see in him now, whether it's physical or mental or both, this year versus the last two postseasons?
Yeah, I think a lot of it, there are some personal things just mentally, and he's talked about his approach this season and not trying to get too high or too low. Even today he was talking about early in his career, like if he had a good game or the team won, he would be hype, right? And just believe in all the things that he's hearing and seeing from the outside. And then if the team would lose or you'd have like a not so great game, he would think it was like the worst thing in the world. And he's just trying to find some middle ground with that. And so far, so good just with the mental side of it. And I think physically and strategically, you've gone through this run in the playoffs previously and haven't succeeded. And so, I mean, of course, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again. And so not only has Giannis made changes to his game, you see a lot more control when he's attacking the rim. The Bucks have made a lot of changes just systematically in their placements offensively. And, of course, you do have to talk about different personnel. I do think that's made a difference in this team as well.
Did you hear all that, Ryan Hollins? I'm just.
I heard it, man. Zora do her thing. Zora been doing her thing, man. We're gonna put some respect on her name right now. Give her the floor. Zora, I gotta ask you something. My fellow Bruin, Drew Holiday, what's the feeling been like among the front office and the teammates around Drew Holiday? He's one of the most amazing guys on the planet, but he's had his moments. He's been down. He's been quiet some games, and he absolutely exploded. He was a star in the last game. What is the consistency of him with Drew Holiday and what you've been hearing behind the scenes?
I think Drew Holiday is a beloved member of this team, and even with the ups and downs offensively, it's his capacity and ability to, you know, pick up Chris Paul three-fourths of the court or, you know, full court for – you know, all the time that he's in. It's that play he made at the end of game five. Like, aside from what he did offensively that game, it was, you know, one of his best offensive games this series. But the fact that at the end of the game, when the lead is slipping away, right, Devin Booker is in attack mode, he finds position to take it out of his hands, no foul call, and takes it up the floor when most people would just slow down and try to run out the clock. He finds an opportunity to toss it up to Giannis and extend the lead and really put it out of reach. So, it's those other plays. It's everything besides scoring. It's the control aspect as the point guard. Defensively, I think it's so important, especially with the two monster guards in this series. So Drew is really a beloved member of this group and his teammates, and people within the front office have nothing but positive things to say about him.
Zor, I feel like if Chris Middleton play with more pizzazz, maybe have more dunks, more ball handling, whatever you want to call it. And even off the court, if he was a little more outgoing or in your face, that we would be talking about him a lot more. Like his rep, I mean, he's obviously a star, but that his stature would be even higher in the league. Do you feel that way? And what is he like? I mean, you're around him on a regular basis. Tell us what he's like.
Yeah, I mean, when Chris gets to know you, though, like, he'll crack some jokes, he'll talk some smack, you know? So he has a personality. I want people to know that. And he really is, like, one of the best people. But he, you know, I do think if he just had a different way about him, yeah, he'd get more talk, but that's not who he is. And I think you have to applaud a person that stays within exactly who they are and doesn't let, you know, an opportunity to be this person or to get more shine, like, oh, if I only, you know, like, had more pizzazz or only more active on social media or whatever it may be. And he's just like, I'm just going to be Chris and y'all are going to have to live with it. And my game talks for itself. And I think at the end of the day, at some point, people are going to have to put respect on his name. And now is that point, right? I mean, you're in the NBA finals and you're showing up and you're closing out games. You have no choice but to talk about Chris Middleton.
Zora, I got to ask you something. We're going to put it out there. You mentioned it a little early about, you know, Giannis hearing the blurbs from the media, and it's kind of our job to say, is he Batman? Is he Robin? And, you know, we stir stuff up. Our job is stirred up. But Giannis listens to it. Do you feel like he's at a place where he hears the criticism and is like, dude, let's just get back to basketball? Where at a point in time, it kind of bothered him or frustrated him a little bit, and he would press a little more. But I think even, you know, before you answer, like saying, well, Kevin Durant's the best player on the planet. He got it, but we won the series. Let's move forward. What's his mental place is he in that you've seen as far as the media, the mess we stir up?
Yeah, I think he's trying to have fun with it, especially in the press conferences. And I think that's a big difference, too. He's like, hey, I'm just going to have fun. Like, I got to do this. This is part of it. And most guys will say it's not their favorite part of the job. But Giannis has the perspective of, I might as well have fun and crack some jokes and make it enjoyable for himself. And then, you know, outside of obligations, I really think he shuts things off as much as he can. You know, I mean, you know, guys will say, I'm not really on social media. And it's not necessarily the case. I think as much as he can, he tries to stay off. And of course you have, you know, people around you and your family and your circle. They're like, hey, did you see this? So there's ways, right, to stay up to speed with maybe what the narrative is at the time. But for the most part, I really do think he tries to stay true to just, you know, containing to himself and not worrying about what all of us are saying.
Zora Stevenson, Bally Sports, Wisconsin, Milwaukee Bucks sideline reporter joining the Odd Couple. Now, Phoenix had beaten, after game two, they had beaten the Bucks four times, all four meetings this season. I know the two regular season games were closed. Drew Holiday didn't play one of them. But still, they beat them four straight. And now, obviously, Phoenix has won the last three. What adjustments or differences do you see or did the Bucks make to kind of turn this thing around?
Yeah, I think it was pressure defensively, activity, and then really, like, making shots and knocking down shots. And home crowd has really helped the Bucks this entire playoff run. I can't quite, like, they haven't been able to articulate exactly what it is about being home. You know, they tend to list off all the things that everybody else has at home, right? Like, you get to sleep in your own bed, and you've got all your resources at the training facility and all the things, and obviously the crowd. But it's something about Milwaukee where the Bucks just play better at home. I was just so impressed game five because that was the game really where, you know, the Suns really wanted that one. And so for the Bucks to pull it out and just figure it out down the stretch after being down in the first quarter and then coming back and kind of maintaining the lead after that, it's just impressive stuff. And that's where I see the changes and the improvements from like this season to the two previous seasons, right? Like there's always this, like, they don't get down. I mean, down 0-2 in the series or down in the first quarter in game five. Like, that used to, I feel like, deflate them. And now they've got these extra gears. And if it's not Giannis, then Chris is like, no, let's go. And if it's not Chris, then Drew, like, gets them back in. And, I mean, they just got all these different gears that they've been able to get to, and it's really impressive.
Zora, who do you attribute that to? You know, that was going to be my next question because, you know, I was understanding that after the pressers, after the game one and two's loss, was like, we've been here before. We know we're going home. Is this Giannis being vocal? Have you heard that from Giannis? Is this Bud? Is there a leader behind the scenes? You know, it was Chris Paul was the guy, but Chauncey Billups, Grant Hill, those were the guys outspoken. Who are the guys that you saw that were really the calming force? Like, you know what? We're good.
I think it's the demeanor. I think it's things that don't have to be spoken because, like, there's a general consensus when it comes to this team. The most vocal person, the person that talks a lot, is PJ Tucker. And they said there's been a big change. Right. Emphasis on communication with PJ's presence, right? And it's, you know, that's a great point that you bring up, but I think that speaks volumes about this team that someone can kind of just get there and really have an impact. But in terms of keeping everybody calm, because PJ, he's an emotional, passionate person, right, when it comes to basketball. In terms of keeping that level head, Chris and Giannis aren't necessarily, like, the biggest vocal leaders, but they are the leaders of the team. Even Drew, right, isn't going to be, like, up in your face. And I feel like if you see your leaders and your main guys are calm, cool, and collected, that rubs off on the rest of the team and even the organization.
That's Zora Stevenson, Bally Sports Wisconsin, Milwaukee Bucks sideline reporter. Great stuff. We appreciate the time and keep up the great work.
Great stuff. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Have a good one.
Yep. See you. All right. The Rob Parker road trip is in full swing, and he joins us next. It's the iCouple with Ryan Hollins in for Rob, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
It is the iCouple on a Magic City Monday. I'm Chris Broussard. Ryan Hollins is in for Rob Parker. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. But we have a surprise for you. He couldn't stay away, even though he's traipsing all over the country. Rob Parker is on the guest line. What up, man?
Yo, what's happening? How you guys doing on a Magic City Monday?
What's up, Rob?
What up, Ryan?
We are good. Ryan has done a great job of filling in for you. He's come up with all these hot contrary takes and everything. So it is very good. But
and good, Ryan, because, you know, usually Chris puts in cupcakes when I'm gone to make it easy on himself.
So what now? Tell us, I mean, what are you doing? You traveling all over the country? What's your vacation like?
Yeah, I'm on a tour. I'm on a tour, vacation tour. As you know, I went to Atlanta, went to the All-Star game in Denver. Then I went to Washington, D.C. this past weekend. All I'm doing is seeing friends, going out to ball games, eating, having lunches. Today I was in Charlotte and met with about 10 friends who lived down there. It was great. And now I'm in Chicago. I just landed and going to a White Sox game, going to St. Louis on Thursday for a Cubs-Cardinals game, going to Cincinnati on Friday for a Reds game and meeting friends. And then, you know, wrap it up in Richmond, Virginia, seeing some other friends and family. And then I'll be back in L.A. So it's just, you know, after COVID, not seeing people for a long time, just kind of want to, like, get back out there and see some people and eat with people and talk with people. So that's what I've been doing for my vacation.
Hey,
all right.
Hey, Rob, forgive my ignorance, but you are actually at the game with the shooting. And, you know, me from the outside goes, if they were shooting outside, I might want to stay where we were. But seriously, take us into that scene. We're glad you're okay. We're glad, to my understanding, no one was hurt or injured. But what was that like, man? And where were you, man?
So we were sitting on the first base side, like near right field. So we heard the shots. I was there with three of my buddies. And when we heard the pop, 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 pop with like six or seven shots, I turned to my friends and I'm like, dude, those were shots. So then we look up over where the shots came from, which was like the third base concourse. And then all of a sudden we see people running to the center field, you know, exit. And I'm like, look at those people. What's going on? Like they're running for their lives. So we see that. I look back down on the field. None of the players or the umpires or anybody's on the field or in the dugout. So we're like, man, something's happening. So we're looking around. Still, you just don't know what's going on. We know we heard shots, but we didn't know if it was inside or outside. So we decide, let's get out of the building. We get up, get on the concourse. We start heading towards the center field exit gate. And then all of a sudden, like a stampede of people start racing our way, women screaming and carrying on. It was like, it was unbelievable. Like people just were like going berserk. It was chaos. So we see this and I say to myself, there's only one thing going on here, you know, that could be. And that means that there's either a shooter in the building or two and they're shooting people and they're coming our way. So we turn around and start running the other way, the way the people are running. And we push our way into a concessions like office where they're managing the people. There's some workers in there. We muscle our way in and jump into a storage closet. And I'm in there with 8 or 10 people, and we're talking about should we put the file cabinet up against the door? Wow. Should the guys hold on to the door? Because we just don't know. You know, like after you find out it was a shooting outside, nobody inside got shot or whatever, but at that very moment, I have never been as scared in my life. I honestly thought there was a shooter in the building the way people responded. So it was one of those moments that wow, I'll never forget. It shook me. It really did. I really thought there was a shooter inside the stadium.
How? I mean, part of the danger as well in a situation like that is people getting stampeded, right? So
right.
What did you see?
There were some people got knocked over. There were people not – they didn't get – you know, trampled over, but people did fall. You know, people are trying to get out of the way. We lost my best friend is Fred, and Fred got separated from us. So it was of us. The three of us made it into, you know, the office and the closet, and then we look around and like, where's Fred? Oh, you know, and then I call Fred and find out that he got separated because of the crowd and couldn't get to where we were, but he was okay. And we connected with him, so he was all right. But it was definitely one of those moments that was like out of a horror movie, to be honest.
Wow. Well, the adventures of Rob Parker continue. You know how it is, man. We got this hard out. But thank you for sharing that.
Appreciate
with
it,
us.
Rob.
Obviously,
yes, sir.
We read
glad
about
you're okay,
it. But
man.
Look, be safe. Yeah, man, we glad y'all fine. Be safe. Have a good time. Enjoy the games.
Appreciate it, and we'll see you next Monday, okay?
Absolutely. All right, brother,
all
peace.
Right. Yep, peace.
Wow, that's crazy, man. I'm glad he's safe and unbelievable situation, Ryan.
You don't expect it, man. And it's unfortunately, that happens today, man. There are shootings in odd places.
That's right. Well, Ryan, outstanding job. I mean, you had some crazy takes for sure.
Oh, that was, but you, outside that was crazy, of that, man.
Nah, man, great job. And
appreciate
the good
you,
news,
man,
is you will be back tomorrow,
hey,
as we get ready for game six. So thank you, brother. Great job,
my
filling
man
in. This is the Odd Couple. It was Chris Broussard, Ryan Hollins. Keep it locked for Jason Smith and Mike Harmon.